Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 63. On today's show, we look at who Molefi Nteki should select for the Bafana Bafana squad this month. We react to the CAF Champions League and the Nedbank Cup and the announcement that fans are still banned from stadiums under level one regulations. Of course, I am not alone. I am joined by the one and only Mr. Sean Roberts. How are you doing today?
Yes, sir. Fantastic. Thank you.
And the one and only Teko Modise. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. And you, Slupa?
Whether you're listening on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or 96.7 FM's Game Time on Mahigang FM, welcome to the show. And we start off today's show with a joke of the day. Sean, what you got for us?
Right here. Right. Someone removed the fifth month from all of my calendars. I'm really dismayed.
Ah, Sean.
No.
Sean.
I can see Teko just in tears.
Sean.
I can see it. Not the best one. Not the best one.
Okay. All right. From there, we move on to hashtag Ask the Car Wash. This is where fans get to comment on Facebook asking a question to Teko Modise or Sean Roberts. I start off with a question for Mr. Teko Modise. This comes from Ntanta Mashabane, and he asks, what is the difference between the current level of play for Mamelodi Sundowns and Pirates compared to the teams you played in back in the day?
No, look, I think for me it's pretty much the same, because Orlando Pirates have assembled a better team than we had when I got there at Orlando Pirates. You know, for me, I can actually look at the Pirates squad and say this is the team that can actually compete for the league. I couldn't say the same when I was still there. Maybe after I left, yes, but when I was still playing, no. And for Mamelodi Sundowns, I think they, you know, it's been a team that is, been winning, been dominating for the last 10 years. So it's very difficult to actually compare Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns, because Mamelodi Sundowns has been dominant. But also, you're looking at both teams, they do have quality players, but it's Sundowns has the momentum. I think maybe Orlando Pirates needs that. They've got a trophy this season. They're looking to get the second one. So maybe this might be the season that turns things around for them.
Would you rather, looking at both the Sundowns and Pirates teams of today, would you rather play for Sundowns or Pirates this season?
You said one question. What kind of question is that?
Okay.
Oh, Slu, you want people to kill me? No. What kind of question is that? I played it. It's done. Not playing for anybody anymore.
He pleads. Next question comes from David Nomdota, and he asks, why can't South African players score as much as European-based players? I'm sure he's referring to the fact that, like, a Premier League top scorer has like 23 goals, but we celebrated when somebody scored 16 last season. So throw that one at Sean. Why do you think that South African players struggle to score as many goals as European-based players?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's probably many reasons. Sure, it's a good question though. But it's a very different game. Do you know what I mean? Like the Premier League and this and the PSL is a very, very different game. And we've seen when was it Nombete, when he scored all those goals one season. It is possible. It is possible. And we are seeing now. I mean, we are seeing last season. We are seeing this season where there's two or three players in the 15, 16 goal mark. So I feel it is changing. Maybe Teko can add as to why, is it a lack of quality? Is it a lack of support? Is it a lack of quality all round? Is the PSL just not as exciting as the Premier League? I think it's a bit of everything, to be honest. Mm. But I do feel that it is changing now. It really is changing. You know, you've seen someone like Khamaldin now, who's reached double figures already this season, which is great to see. So, yeah, I don't have an out and out answer. I do presume it's possibly a lack of quality, and lack of creativity. I think it is changing.
I think another thing to add there is that there are fewer matches being played in our calendar year. We have 30 matches. Yeah. Premier League has 38. I think the Bundesliga has 34. So there's slightly more. I mean, you know, to be fair, Robert Lewandowski can score 30 league goals in a season for Bayern Munich on an off season. So it's a tough question to answer, because we don't want to, you know, put down the quality of local players.
No, but I do feel it comes down to a lack of quality, and you make a very good point, Steve, that we are possibly 4 and 8 games behind them as well. So, but we do see that it is changing, which is great. This is the second season we're going to see someone scoring more than 15, 16, 17.
But also, Sean, to add on what you're saying, I think also we can also say lack of consistency as well within our players. Because you speak about Lewandowski, we've been doing this for how long? You know, and also it helps that Lewandowski is playing for a team that has quality players. So that also contributes. So now we're speaking of Kamaldeen that has double figures this season. Will he get the double figures the next season? That becomes now a question of consistency or the quality around him or the quality with himself. Yeah. Because we've seen so many players, you know, having great season. One season, wonderful. And then next season, now start searching him with lights and torch, start asking people, where is this player?
Yeah.
So I think there's lack of consistency within our teams, within our country. I think that plays a huge part, because talent is there, but lack of consistency, I think that's big.
And the last question,
yeah, good point,
which goes for both of you, this one comes in from Chevy Mangala. He says, how do you cope with regrets after retirement? Deep questions.
Look. Let the black man go first. It's early in the morning. I think for me, I'll personally say, I don't focus on any regrets. Like I do have regrets, but they don't actually determine or form the person that I am today. I think what happened, I believe that it was supposed to happen for me to be educated, to learn from that. So I don't think anything that maybe for me that actually bad happened before, it's something that I sit down and think about it. And for me, I have a good sleep at night. What happened. I don't dwell on regrets. I don't dwell on the past. There's so much that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, that's very well said, Teko. I think if you do live in the past, you sort of, your future's a bit scattered. You know, there's a good saying in life, if you've got one foot in the past and one foot in the future, you're f***ing on the present.
Quote of the day.
Thank you. Very, very much. But yeah, there have been a couple of regrets that have kept me up in the past, but I've come to peace with, you know, the first one was leaving Europe far too early. I should have stayed there and stopping playing too early. I think I could have had a good 3, 4, 5 more years, but it is what it is. I am where I'm supposed to be right now. I've got a beautiful family, and who knows how things would have turned out if I didn't make those decisions. So, yeah, if you do live in regret, it's not a nice place to be in. So I just, like Teko, I choose to look at the positives and be grateful that I was able to play professional football for so long and meet the people I did, which is paving my career now. And it's made me who I am, put it that way. I think professional sports makes a different breed of person. I really do.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for
them. Yeah. You've got your own diploma now.
Yeah. No regrets.
Yeah.
Time's never no last. Regrets.
Last is never time. Yes, time yeah. Involved.
Up next, we have the story about Lefty Nteki, Bafana Bafana coach, and the headache he has selecting a squad later this month. With Percy Tau, our star boy, struggling a little bit to break into that Brighton squad over in the Premier League. Bongani Zungu breaking COVID regulations, and now he's out of favour for Rangers in Scotland. And generally, a lot of players just not having game time. Some of our star players. So I need to ask you guys about this in terms of how both COVID and injuries are impacting the Bafana squad, but the importance of these AFCON qualifiers. How do you think Mulekunteki should approach selection this month?
Yeah, it's such a big question, and this is something that's been playing on my mind for a long time throughout my career, is basically, if a player is not playing for his club, should he be selected for his country? And Teko might have a different opinion on this, but my honest answer is no. I don't see how that is possible. But then you say, how do you leave out Percy? You know, how do you leave out Zungu? Then you look at the goalkeeping department. There's only really Ronwin Williams who you can choose. And without a doubt, in my eyes, he's still Bafana's number one. There's talk of Kumia getting called back to Bafana, which it baffles me, to be honest. And then Darren Keith, who doesn't have a team. So it's I wouldn't like to be in Molefe's shoes right now. But in my opinion, if you're not playing for your club, I don't see how you can play for your country.
Deco?
Sure, knees! Before you grill. Slew and short. I think, for me, I would say, first of all, as a national team coach, I think after 6, even after 10 games, you should have an idea or a core of your team. And that also, yes, needs to be, strategically, because if you don't know whether that player will be playing weekly, regularly in his team or not. But as a national team, you need to have a core team. You can't be chopping and changing every time you're playing a different team. You can't be having different selections just because somebody's on form. You need to have a team, a core of the team. Then you add on whenever you can, whenever you find a gap, whenever you find an opportunity. That's the mentality of a team that wants to win, that wants to progress and go forward. A team that wants to please everybody, they put everyone that's on form. You scored against Kaizer Chiefs this week, next week you're in the Bafana Bafana team. And we've seen this happening so many times. For me is we speak about players going overseas, we speak about how proud we are, let them go overseas, let them fight. But when Pace is not playing in Brighton, we say Pace is struggling. You want him to fight for the, you want him to be on the bench, not playing in Belgium, or fight for the first, for the lineup in the EPL. I think for me, Pace is where he's supposed to be. Whatever experience that he's gaining out is going to make him a better player.
Sure.
And Pace's lack of game time at Brighton doesn't, as he's far in a better position than many South African players that are playing locally.
Yeah,
he's competing at one of the best leagues. Ongani Zungu, yes, he broke the protocol for his club. They took him back. Now he's asked for forgiveness. He wrote letters and gift hugs. He's back. He's playing. and him playing, we can't be Bafana. We are not in the space of Spain, my friend. Where if Iniesta's playing the Xavi, in South Africa we don't have that. We don't have a better central midfielder than Bongani Zungu or Thulane Serere, for instance. We don't. The reason why we will argue sometimes and say, yeah, we do have better, because we don't actually have time to watch your Bongani Zungus, your Percy Tau most of the time. We only see what we see here locally, and we think that playing against Ghana, we can match. We can't. We're playing against guys that are playing in top leagues every week in, week out. And we have our core of the Bafana Bafana team that are playing locally. And whenever we have to bring those guys that are actually in good spaces overseas to come in and help us, we put them on the bench. We don't play them.
Yeah. This is the thing that I wanted to throw back at Sean, and that's, if we do bring in somebody who's not used to the Bafana setup, do you think that they'll be able to adapt in time to face a team like Ghana this month?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to echo, I think the short answer is no, but and that's why I said, you know, I'm very much against players who don't play for the clubs, shouldn't play for the country. But like Teko said, is the experience someone like Percy Tau is getting, and it's very difficult to leave him out.
Mm-hmm.
And like Teko said, you know, a national team, you need consistency, you need this. You need repetition.
Mm.
You need the same players each week or whenever it is, each month. So, there might be a rare case where a player comes and fits in straight away. But, yeah, it is very rare. But, I mean, as a national team player or a national team fan or as a national team coach, you sort of want that core week in and week out. And, yes, there will be some changes along the way, 100%. Just like Jack Grealish has done for England. He's come in and he's fitted in. He's done amazing. But it is rare. But the majority of the question, I would say no, it's very difficult.
And also, Sean, just to add on what you're saying, I think we should, for us to get back to where we said it was an honor to wear the Bafana Bafana jersey, it felt great to play your first game. I think the reason why we said that, because we knew that at the time, you know, it was we're in a different space where we had to fight to be in the Bafana Bafana, and you knew the Bafana Batima, how great it was, the players that they had.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back and reassess how we select these players to come into the national team. We want quality players to come to the national team, not on form players. Do you understand what I'm good saying? Because I think we're focusing more on on-form players than quality players. Anybody can be on form, guys. So we want quality players, something that is sustainable, something that will help us, you know, going forward. Because you have an informed player, he plays two games, great. And then what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we spoke about this in the past. We spoke about this in the past,
yeah.
I think Bafana is like, I think everyone's had a Bafana cap. You know what I mean?
Everyone has. I mean, and most of them are like 15 or 16. You're like, when? Who are you playing against? Lesotho?
Yeah. It is one of the, Lefi Nteki has a particularly hard job, especially with the COVID and injuries to certain players. I mean, Rushin Duruk was just finding his feet in the Bafana squad as well. He hasn't played as much for Sundowns. And there's a couple other players who've just had niggling injuries and you don't know about their fitness. But we move on to the next story, which is Chiefs and Sundowns in the CAF Champions League. This is a tale of two cities performing very, very differently at the moment. The Sowetan Giants not having a great time in the CAF Champions League. They're sitting on a draw and a loss, an embarrassing loss, shall I say, to Wydad Casablanca, who are, of course, a very good team in the CAF Champions League. They have a rich history there. Where, on the other hand, Sundowns might be looking like early favorites if they can continue their form. They've won 2 from 2. They won 5-1 against Belizadad. So, you know, starting with Chiefs, last time we spoke about Chiefs in the CAF Champions League, we said that they have to basically choose their poison. Do they focus on the DStv Premiership or do they focus on the CAF Champions League? Watching them play, do you think that maybe they should just, you know, throw all their chips in the DStv Premiership load and, you know, call it a day, so to speak, in the CAF Champions League? What do you think, Sean?
I think it's too late in the Champions League anyway, isn't it? I'm just trying to see their fixtures. But, I mean, yeah, I think for the Kaiser Chiefs faithful, I think it's a season. I hope they do turn things around, don't get me wrong, but I think it's a season they want to soon forget, however way this goes. But, yeah, they really do need to start finding some form. But again, I keep on saying this, it's Kaiser Chiefs. You know, it's not like we're talking about Chippo or Maritzburg, no disrespect to any team, but, you know, this is a team that deserves to be where they are in the Champions League. Rightfully so, they've got their place. So, they've got to give 100%. It's Kaiser Chiefs. And they've got to give 100% in the league. It's Kaiser Chiefs. Do they have the depth? No, we know they don't. But it's still no excuse. They've got to give 100%. And we expect more. For sure we expect more.
Mm. But before I pass it to Deco, what did you make of the whole issue with news? Do you think that it's a cause for concern that it took so long and we had to basically give CAF an ultimatum that they won't play in neutral venues? Do you think that that'll be a theme for the rest of the competition?
I hope not, but it's Africa, Slew. I mean, I remember when me and Teko, we traveled to, was it Male? I think Teko.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. It was absolutely horrific. I mean, I think we were at the airport for 12 hours. They made everything so for us.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's what you've got to deal with. So, whenever a South African team goes and plays in Africa, you've got to deal with that.
Yeah, Teko, what do you make of Chiefs? I mean, that loss to Wydad was quite humbling. Do you think maybe we're overreacting by saying that they should give up in that competition? Do you think that 4 more matches they can turn it around? What's your perspective?
To be honest, I think just to add on, NJ, I think the Chiefs are in a situation where they wish the season can just end today and so that they can regroup and start enjoying football again. Because I don't think as any of the members, even from the technical staff to the players, I don't think anybody's enjoying the season at the moment, because nothing's going their way. And to make things worse, you're in the Champions League, you're playing against your Wydad, which has won the trophy before, which is the group's favorite. It becomes very, very difficult. And to lose 4-0, it's one of those things where it might work against them or it might work for them, depending on how they look at things. Here's what I'm saying. When Mamelodi Sundowns with Peter Mseman went to the Champions League for the first time, we got hammered, Chief. We came back with like a lot of experience. We came back knowing how tough it is and how difficult it is to play there. But we said to ourselves that whenever we get an opportunity next season, we must win it. And that's not exactly what we did next season. But for Kaizer Chiefs, what I'm saying is you need to, what Kaizer Chiefs are struggling with within the league is the fighting spirit, the confidence, the eager to fight till the end. And that's what Champions League teaches you, to be united, to play as a group. And I think if they do well, I'm not expecting Kaizer Chiefs to go all the way through, but I'm just saying if they do well, it might help them to turn things around within the league, because I think that's where the important is. Because there's no point in saying, ignore the Champions League and come back into the league. You need something to help you to come into the PSL and be able to perform. And at this moment, they don't have NetBank. They've got nothing in between. The only thing that they have in between is Champions League, where they can actually have a breather and play normally, because the pressure it's not there. Everybody's expecting Kaizer Chiefs not to go all the way in the Champions League because they're playing in the league. So I think it might work for them depending on how they look at it. But I'm sure with the Gavin Hunt's mentality, they want that to help them as well when they come back within the league. Because now we're speaking about, if you look at Kaizer Chiefs, we always speak about Arnokovic is fighting, Alperen Parker is fighting. Yeah, but we don't even go to more than five. And that's unfair, because now we don't know how these guys feel. We don't know how, because football is about emotions as well. We don't know how these guys feel. We don't know where the mental state is. This gets back to the previous podcast where we spoke about the mental thing when it comes to football. Do we need a psychologist in football? We said yes. These are the issues. These are the times that we need that. I don't think Kaizer Chiefs are struggling in terms of performance. They're not bad players. It's just that also to become a great player, you need to have a strong mentality. Not everybody has that. And that's what Kaizer Chiefs are struggling with. And I think Champions League might help them with that.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see how they perform against Luanda. The Angolan team, Petro de Luanda.
Petro de Luanda. It's Petros.
Obrigado.
Because they face them back to back. They're not a massive team, but of course, that's an opportunity, I think, for Chiefs to kind of bounce back. A team that doesn't need to bounce back is Sundowns. And we did mention, I think, when the season started, if you're going to sign all these players, you have to compete for everything. And they are doing so. They're still in the Nedbank Cup. They still have to play, I believe, their round of 16 match. They're still, in the hunt for the DStv Premiership, leading the way with games in hand. And they're looking pretty good in the Champions League. Do you think it's too early to make, broad judgments? Or do you think that they are genuinely contenders to go the distance, perhaps semifinals, perhaps even to the final?
Seriously, I think it comes down to what Tech was saying in terms of how PSL in general lacks consistency, but how consistent Sundowns have been. And that's what excites me. And yes, it's due to the depth of the team. And yes, they've got a big check. And, Patrice has got more money than Teco, So he's got a lot of money.
Of course.
But of course.
He's Petrocard itself. No.
But I'm excited, eh? I think Sundowns, I think the way they're playing, they've scraped a couple of results in the Premier League, which wins you trophies at the end of the day. It's the 1-0 away wins. It's the 2-1 scrapes. It's the clean sheets here and there. It's the depth of their squad. And that's carrying through now into Africa. So I think you can start getting excited. I think Sundowns have the squad to go all the way. I really do. I hope they do.
What's also, Sean, what's interesting is Mamelodi Sundowns, they always find themselves in this situation every season. So for, to them, it's not new. They know this road. They know the difficulties of being involved in the in the group stages of the Champions League and focusing on the league and there's nothing cup as well. So this is the life of Mamelodi Sundowns players for the last past what 8, 9 years, 10 years. So they understand what it feels like. I'm not too sure about the younger ones or the new ones that are coming in at Mamelodi Sundowns because now you spend most of the time in camp. But this is the life. But you also look at their group. Sundowns are the favorites and they've got TP Mazembe. And TP Mazembe is no longer the strong team that it used to be. So I think Sundowns will actually be able to go through. I don't see them having difficulties in doing so. But also, speaking of consistency, like Sean has said, they need to come back again and have that mental switch to be able to adapt to what the league requires of them and be able to dish out the football that's supposed to be and win all the way. But I'm still saying as well that I just wish that, as much as I know that Sundowns has the capabilities and has the plans to go all the way through, I just wish Kaizer Chiefs can make it, you know, that back-to-back win against Petros so that they can change the feeling of the team. And by doing so is the thing is, like, I know that next season Kaizer Chiefs is going to be a clean sweep, but you also want that clean sweep to start with an MTN 8.
Mm.
You don't want them to start outside MTN 8. So I hope that back-to-back victory from the CAF Champions League might bring that confidence back. And then so that they can help them within the league, so that whenever they start afresh, my friend, your foundation is already there. Because if they actually don't, I foresee the same roller coaster that's happening right now is going to happen next season.
Yeah. From there, we move on to the international news desk. And for that, we are joined by Sokola Duma, international correspondent, Mr. Kurt Buckfield. Kurt, how you doing?
Good to be back.
Hey, Kurt. The person who's always on holiday.
How's it going, guys?
Easy.
Good. Want to start with Manchester City, who are running through the English Premier League untouched. They look like obvious favorites for the championship, but... I want to ask Kurt a curveball question, and that's, do you think that they can emulate this form in the UEFA Champions League, the trophy that has escaped them, the one that got away, so to speak? Do you think that Man City can make it happen next week also in the Champions League?
So that's a difficult question because, we thought that City could go all the way last season and then they bottled it against in the semi-final. Was it the semi-final or the quarter-final? Quarterfinal, but I hope so. Personally, I hope so. I'm a United fan, but I just want to see Pep Guardiola win the championship. I feel like, and we keep saying this, but I feel like this is the best chance he has to do it since being at Barcelona, because this team right now is playing some of the best football you'll ever see. For Pep Guardiola, I think to turn things around, back around, to get City playing this kind of football after the slump they had last season, it's something he's never done in his career. He's never had a season like, I think, 9 league games and got them back to this incredible level. And, that's what's happening with Liverpool now. This current slump they're experiencing is what happened. But they're back to an incredible level, playing spectacular football again. And it's arguably the best Pep. Everybody's bought back into that system, and I think that's 21 consecutive wins now on the bounce. So it's incredible, and I personally hope they can do it, Slu, in the Champions League.
Yeah, they're a scary team to face. Here's my Arsenal reference of the day. I have to mention them at least once every car wash. We lost 1-0 to City, and honestly, I was fine with that because it's terrifying the number of goals that they're able to score through different players. And I'll pass it to the actual City fan here, Sean.
Yeah.
How are you feeling this season? Give you your chance to gloat.
Well, man, Teko is also a City fan, don't forget. So, dude, I think Kurt said it all, hey? I mean, it's
what Pep has done is no short of miraculous, and it'll be interesting to see if Klopp can do the same next season.
But enough about Liverpool. City have been absolutely phenomenal. Just such a pleasure to watch every weekend. And you sort of, you just know what's coming. You know, there's another 3 points on the horizon. And it's, and like Kurt was saying, it's been a good 12 months since you felt like that. So I just hope they can carry this for me for Champions League.
It should be very interesting. We're going to keep an eye on that. Before we wrap this up, I do want to ask you about this situation with Zamalek. You posted a really dope article on the Sokola Duma site. What's happening with them and this potential relegation before we wrap up the international news?
So that involves Benjamin Achimpong, who's a striker, Nigerian striker, who joined Zamalek in 2017. He went out on loan just a few months later and then left the club permanently in 2018. So he wasn't at the club for a handful of appearances, but he claimed that he wasn't paid correctly and he was sort of taken advantage of, and that he was owed, you know, a certain amount. And his case was then looked at by CAS, the Court of Arbitration for Sport. They backed the player, as have FIFA now, who have ordered Zamalek to pay him what he is owed, and that is apparently around $1 million. So that's a big payday for him. To pay that before 30 days, or they face, you know, hefty fines, a transfer ban, and possibly even relegation, which is hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine Zamalek, Egyptian Giants, being relegated. Crazier things have happened in football.
Yeah. When was it when Juventus, was it Juventus who were relegated in Serie A? So it can happen, and there was rumors
that
Man City would have been relegated. That,
yes, remember that? Wow.
Yeah, madness. These past few years, when you look back, have been long as hell. But
mood.
Thank you very much for joining us show. That is Kurt Buckerfield, international news correspondent for Sokola Duma. Have a great day, bro.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
All right. The sound engineer tells me we're running close to 50 minutes, so I'm going to skip over to this week in football history.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week, back in 2014, Bafana Bafana lost 5-0 to Brazil on the back of a Neymar hat-trick. That fixture marked the passing over of South Africa's host nation duties from the 2010 World Cup to the new World Cup hosts. And funnily enough, 4 months later, Brazil would suffer their own humiliation, losing 7-1 to Germany at that World Cup. This week, back in 2002, Real Madrid celebrated their 100th birthday with a loss to Deportivo La Coruña in the Copa del Rey final. They are now 119, just slightly younger than Sean Roberts. And this week also marks a year since the PSL's first precautionary measures for COVID-19 were announced. That was before lockdown came into play 2 weeks later. And from there, we move into our move to level one regulations, which still doesn't allow fans in stadiums. Do you think that this is unfair to fans and supporters? Do you think that it's just one of those things? You know, there's new strains every week, it feels like. What do you make of this, you know, of sports still being banned when we can go to malls and be out in public and be on buses and taxis and airplanes? Do you think that is like not fair, that it's unbalanced, or do you think it's one of those things?
Yeah, I think with what comes on a game day, at a PSL game or any other sports game that matter, is a lot of drinking. Not for everybody, but a lot of drinking, a lot of socializing, a lot of people being a bit more relaxed about life, and that's when this virus can spread. So although it is frustrating for us fans, I don't think it's the wrong call. I do think these regulations are going to be here for the rest of the year as well, unfortunately. That's my opinion. I think we just got to deal with it, enjoy the games on the TV, and then when the ban is lifted, obviously life continues as normal, which we cannot wait for, to be honest.
Deco, do you think that we could try and do something like what they're doing in the States, where if it's an open stadium, you know, so not basketball, but like an open stadium like we have plenty of, that there's socially distanced fans? Do you think that South Africa is capable of pulling that off?
Dude, I think if we were capable of pulling a bubble and still the league continued and it finished the way it did, I think we are capable. Mm. I think South Africa is capable of many, many, many things. And I think it's as much as it's on level one, like you said, it's not unfair not to bring the fans in, but you can actually have a certain number that is allowed to come and watch the games. Because also you also need to understand what football does for people. What football means to other people. You know, sometimes it's very, 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 very tough and we're in difficult times right now. You need something. You know, you need something that you love. You want to do something that you love and you're restricted from doing that. But let's give it an opportunity. You know, maybe let's say maybe, you know, 500 fans per side with social distancing. You know, a home team's responsibility to do so, sanitizing, to do all this. They'll love to do that. We want to see their fans, you know, also we want to see our games. We want to see our favorite teams also playing. So I think slowly and slowly reintroducing it. I think we can if we allowed to be in trains and planes, because I've been traveling a lot with my friend. There's no social distancing in a plane, nothing whatsoever. So I think we can be given that opportunity to bring back the fans, not all of them. So, you know, but I think on a serious note, I think PSL can. I think we can. I think it's important for especially with what happened now. I think the importance of SAFA and the PSL working together, I think it's for the people, it's for the greater good of the people. I think we can, you know?
Yeah. It's a tough one. What I do know is that from a SAFA and the ministry perspective, they're kind of trying to watch their own asses a little bit. And so I think it's unlikely towards the end of this season, which sucks, but I definitely think it should be considered, particularly when we talk about, you know, international matches coming up and the start of next season. There are opportunities to give it a try, but we'll see how things go. But we have some matches to do predictions for this weekend. Of course, Chiefs and Sundowns both still play in the CAF Champions League. But we do have the Cape Town Derby, Cape Town City versus Stellenbosch. Should be a cracker. You know, it sucks that we can't go there. You know, it is just around the corner, Cape Town Stadium. But Sean, who do you think has the edge in this one?
Stellenbosch need a result, but I think Cape Town City are going to take it. Even though they're coming off a bad result, they're playing some very good football. I got Cape Town City.
The goal.
Cape Town City, my friend, no doubt. Look, like Sean has said, Stellies, I've watched Stellies so many times. You know, Stellies is, I don't want to make a silly analogy, but Stellies is one of those teams where you feel like they're lacking something, but you don't know what it is. Like they've got a good structure, they, but they can't score, they can't win, they can't defend very well. So there's something that is lacking there. So it's very, very difficult to play Cape Town City. Cape Town City, the pitch is big. They'll keep the ball. They'll hide the ball. So I don't see Stellies winning that.
Yeah. And fun fact about Cape Town City, they are tied for the most goals scored in the DStv Premiership on 28, but they also suffer from a weak defense with 26. So
yeah,
it's one of those. As long as they stay scoring, they should be okay against Stellies. And then we have Chipper United, which is Sean Roberts' favorite team, versus Orlando Pirates.
Ooh.
You know, Pirates actually not too bad in recent DStv Premiership matches. They sit third now on 32 points. Who do you guys have in this one?
Chipper coming off a win against Cape Town City in the Nedbank Cup, so they'll be high flying. But I'm going to go with Pirates, even though it is away for Pirates. I think they're playing some good football. Pirates 3 points all the way.
Yumbo. I'll go with Pirates. For one reason, Pirates are starting to look like a team that that knows how to win games even uglier, and that's a championship mentality. So I think we're not going to see a great game. I think Chipper will have more of the ball, but Pirates will win.
And the next one we have, this is actually low-key a revenge match for Morocco Swallows, because they lost to TTM in the round of 16 of the Nedbank Cup. And they get a chance, but back-to-back losses for Swallows for the first time this season. They lost to TS Galaxy in the league recently. So do they bounce back against TTM and get their revenge? Or is this the start of a little bit of a shitty run of form? Who do you guys have?
It's a tough one. I think I'm going for a draw here. It was a very dull game. It wasn't a great game to watch. There was not much in both teams, but I'm going to go 1-1 draw.
I'll go for a 0-0 draw because I think people have understood how Solas are playing. People are starting to catch up on what Solas is trying to do. And it's one of those. Like, I remember saying, we had this conversation early in the season. I said, guys, for me, the league starts on game 16. You know, and this is some of the teams on game 16. I think this is where it matters most. I think it's important for Solas' coach to turn things around a little bit. But look, he's in a great position. So, but I see a draw here. Because TTM also, they've got new injection in their system, new bonuses. Hey,
Thabo Nyamani scoring.
Thabo Nyamani scoring. Come on, guys. TTM is alive.
Yeah, man, and when you get to the halfway point in the season, what you really need to keep going is drive. And you know what else you drive is cars. Do you have a problem?
Wow, Slu, what else you drive is cars. Slu.
Right. This week is Max Mbaiva, who is the reserve team, the second choice goalkeeper for Golden Arrows. He's got the latest version of the Golf 7 GTI. What we like about this, it's impeccable build quality, the premium feel, the effortless performance, the ride and handling balance, the practicality, and of course the advanced features. What we don't like, it's pricey, but of course with the VW GTI, you get what you pay for. The alternatives in this range is the BMW 1 Series and the Mercedes A250 Sport. For something a little bit cheaper, you could go to the Renault Megane RS or the Ford Focus ST, coming in at around 650,000 rand. I'm giving it a 8.5 out of 10.
Very nice. And in a time when everybody is going back to work, traffic is back, I think everybody needs a little motivation. So who do you have for our quotes of the week?
Yes, sir. Snoo Dogg. This is my man, Linda Ntambo. He says, every situation in life is temporary, so when life is good, make sure you enjoy it and receive it fully. And when life is not so good, remember that it will not last forever and better days are on the way.
Whether you have been listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikang 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I have been your host, Slu Paho. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
I remember what's
And that has been Mr. Thiko Modise.
Oh, that's Lou. So what the fuck is wrong with you?
Oddly sexual. But thank you very much for tuning into the show. We'll be here same time, same place next week.
Peace.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Hlangana Car.